Hey, this is Jason Robinson, the pastor of Church of the King, and I'm so pumped up that you're hanging out with us with our podcast today. I pray that God really speaks to you and that you're encouraged and inspired to live your life with everything you have for Him. Hey, I want to encourage you to check us out over at cotk.org. You can go there and learn all kinds of things about us and when our service times are. And speaking of our service times, I would love to invite you so that I could actually meet you personally on one of our weekend services. I promise you, your kids will love it. You'll have a great time and you'll have a blast. I pray today that God speaks to you through this word. God bless you.
It's good to be with all of you if it is your first time. My name's Jason. I am the pastor here at the church. Excited to have you with us. I also like to look on the camera for everybody who's looking at a screen, wherever you may be, and all of our additional seating areas, all of that. I just want to say, hey, you made it in either way. Hey, can we give a hand for everybody who's watching? We love you guys. Appreciate all y'all online. Hey, we have a lot going on at church. Let me just kind of say a couple things. We do know with parking and all that, we're doing the best that we can right now. We have raised all the money that we need to be able to pour the asphalt and build out a much better system on getting in and getting out. It's going to give us a bunch more parking spots over there than we had before. We're trying to time it at the right time. And so really it'll be after Easter, really after Mother's Day will be the day that we'll really get that going. We have a whole strategy. What are we going to do? Because it's not going to be available for a big portion of the time that we're doing it. But I just wanted you to know that, because if you've only been coming for a few weeks, you don't know, we have an answer. And it's coming, all right? So it's like, man, I tell you what, God's testing me to see if I even want to be a Christian coming to this church when it comes to parking and walking and all that kind of stuff. But thank you for your patience. We have an answer. We're just trying to get there to it. So, hey, if you have your Bible, if you'd open up to James chapter 1, James chapter 1. Man, it's been a great week here around our church. Lots happening. Lots going on. I remember when we first started this church, one of the things people would ask me all the time, Pastor, what can I pray about? And I've told people for now 8 years, and I said, hey, I want you to just pray that we have a lot of problems. A lot of good problems. Come on, how many of y'all know there's good problems and bad? Either way, you got to deal with problems. Which one would you rather deal with? So I want to deal with the good problems. And I told the Lord this morning, okay, they're getting a little too good, Lord. All right, we're trying to figure a few things out. You know, we need some patience here. A lot going on. Hey, men's night was awesome. Sunday night, where's my men at? How many were able to come Sunday night? What a great time. Great, great time. Men do what men do. What do I mean by that? We had 180 men signed up after the third service finished last week. We had 260 additional men sign up. And so the place was packed out. It was great. So, no, awesome time. Kingdom Women Connect coming up this Thursday, which is awesome. Our student ministry, y'all. Our student ministry on Wednesday night, the movement, for you guys that don't know, with our students, adults, that had over 700 people here. They were in overflow as well, in our youth as well, for our teenagers. Man, just all the stuff God's doing, it's great. We have a theme this year so far. Our theme is, where are we going to put everybody? That's the theme of the year. That's a good problem. Hey, we're jumping into the second part of a relationship series. Really, there's two things we often see in Scripture, and you hear me talk about it. It's how do we connect with God? What is God saying to us? But then also, how do we connect here as well? There's 66 books in the Bible. 64 of them primarily are talking about how do we connect with God. But there's two in particular that talks about how we connect with one another. It's Proverbs and James. In the Old Testament, Proverbs, and New Testament, James. Often when someone's learning how to read the Bible for the first time, I often push them towards Proverbs. The reason I do that is because it's so practical. You're going to read something, you'll be like, wait a second, I can use that this week. I can use this today. Hey, this applies to something I was dealing with last week. And it's so practical, it starts to whet the appetite, saying, wait, God wants to talk to me, and He does. And so what we're looking into one of those books that's going in this direction right here, horizontal. And typically, that's even how I'll do a series, kind of let you a little bit behind the strategy behind it. I'll often do a series this way and then do a series that way. So this week, these next couple weeks, we're doing a series on what do I do with my relationships, because we're going in this direction. But then after that, we're going into a series that we're talking about the names of God, what the Hebrew people called Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sitkanu, Jehovah Rapha, all these different names of God. He's our peace, he's our righteousness, these things. And it's going to lead into Easter, where we're going to call that, our theme for that is the name above all names, Jesus, okay? And so we'll go north with that. And then after that, we're doing a family universe. So y'all kind of see what I'm saying. We're constantly doing this. And so this series and this message today is actually very practical. I'm always practical. I'm a practical preacher. I want you to be able to take what we have and actually do something with it. But it might be even more of that today, because we're really going horizontal today with it. So let's jump into the scripture. I'll pray and we'll get after it, okay? James 1 verses 19 through 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. I could just stop right there, dismiss service, let's all work on that, and we'll be fine, right? So, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious, this is all for my religious folk out there, right? And yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Mm-hmm. Come on, you ever scrolling through social media and somebody posts something, it's like this inspiring quote, and you look at the inspiring quote and you're like, you don't do none of that. Yeah, you posting that. That you just repent and go hit delete during service. You can do that, it's fine. We don't mind. I'm just playing. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I want to help you today, and just simply, we're going to look in Scripture, what it just said, what we just read, but I want to help you with it. This message has the opportunity to really help a lot of us, okay? As a matter of fact, I'm going to load you up in your tool belt today. And it's on this, communication. I entitled the message today, Communicating for a Change. Come on, let's finally communicate and let's do it so something will change. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this day. God, I pray that you would help me communicate your words to all of us today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. So I've been in ministry now full-time about 28 years. Have loved it. Man, it's afforded me a lot of cool opportunities. Met some of the coolest people in the world and had the opportunity to do some neat things. I love the youth camps and the youth trips I've always was able to do, and some of the different meetings that people I get to meet is kind of fun as well. But out of all of them, one of the things that I love the most, I truly enjoy, is missions trips. Like some people be like, listen, I'm fine right here in Katy, you know? But I like going different places. I've been a lot of different places. I've been to Nigeria. I've been to Thailand. I've been to China. I've been to Egypt. I've been to Mexico City. I've been to a bunch of different places. I've been to India. And it's really cool going somewhere and you get in their culture and you hear the way they communicate, and it's fascinating. Now, out of all of it, one of the most challenging things when we go on these mission trips is working with an interpreter. That's just tough for me because I kind of flow, you know. When I talk, I'm not like glued to, I'm not all line by line. I kind of flow, and as I'm trying to flow and I'm in a moment, I got to wait. And I remember one time in particular, I'm in Nigeria, okay? And we're doing this massive event and there's these thousands of people and they asked me to speak. And so I speak. Now here, it was interesting in Nigeria because they speak English. So I'm speaking English, but they're interpreting me in English. But they speak a different type of English. Come on, my Nigerian families, you know what I'm talking about, okay? And they said, hey, let me interpret for you so that we make sure we understand. And so it's kind of interesting. So I'm at this thing and I'm like, Jesus loves you. I hear, Jesus loves you. I'm like, okay. And he wants to help you. And he wants to help you. And I said something, I'll never forget this. And I said, the devil wants to oppress you. And apparently that was too much. And I'll never forget, he sat there for a second. He goes, the devil wants to lick you like ice cream. And everybody went, amen. I'm like, okay, whatever. Now I know what, as an interpreter, wasn't quite understanding it all. But out of all the places between culture and all that, it wasn't happening, was when I went to China. So I went to China, and so I'm in the middle of nowhere China, in a village. They call it village of 6.9 million people. That was a village, okay? We get there, and right when I get there, I find out, I show up, and there's a letter. A letter is the host that was supposed to be here from America. A family member passed away, so they had to leave. And oh, by the way, and the interpreters that were coming to help you can't show up for 3 more days. And so I see this thing, and I'm like, so I had all this money. The money was there to help for the ground for the team. I have no interpreters. And they say, hey, you're supposed to be on a bus in 3 days. It's an 8-hour trip. Don't worry, it'll be fine. I'm like, I have 20 teenagers with me. I'm like, this is not what I expected. And I remember I'm talking to the host guy, the gentleman, and we don't obviously speak different languages. I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at him, I'm like, we were all hungry. So I went. And he looks at me, goes, and walked off. I was like, no. Hungry. Die. Come on, hungry. Had no idea what I was talking about. Had no clue whatsoever. And I'm like, I don't get this. I mean, it's not that hard. I mean, this is very clear. I mean, come on, charades. This is simple, okay? Didn't get any of it. At that point, I just gave up. I just gave up and waited for the bus 3 days later. That's all we did. Till we could finally get some interpreters. And as crazy as that is, many of us, even with our life, with our relationship, with the people that we love, the people we're trying to communicate with, sometimes we're doing this. And they're like, cool, peace out. And they just leave it on us. Sometimes we're saying one thing and we think it means something, and then we find out they're taking it as another way. Just like in different cultures, they come from different backgrounds and different understandings. Many of us, we come from the background of our family, the way we were raised, all these things. And we begin to talk one way and they begin to hear another way. And next thing you know, our communication's all off. If I could, as a pastor of the church, if I could give everybody, boom, one thing. The first thing that I would give everybody is this. I would just go, boom. Every time God speaks, you hear it clearly. You're not confused about what the world is. My idea is that it would just be clear as day. I would give it to everybody if I could. The second thing I would give is how to communicate with one another. Because I can't tell you how many meetings I sit in with people who are married couples or just whatever it may be, and this person's saying one thing, and this person's saying another thing, and they're doing this, right? They're not connecting because they're not communicating really well. And I have found I'm usually dealing with one of two things: not being able to communicate with one another, or dealing with the results of years and years of not being able to communicate with one another. It's usually those two things. So I'm gonna take today, and I wanna talk a little bit about communicating for a change. George Shaw, an Irish playwright and political activist, said this. He said, the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion it's taking place. I said it. They got it right. Really? Did they? Did they really get it? Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. And so today I'm gonna give you four tips in communication. I'm gonna load your tool belt up today when it comes to communication, and I'm gonna take it from the scripture, and we're gonna talk this direction here today. But I wanna give a few ground rules. When we start talking about communication, there are a lot of elbows going in a lot of sides in these type of conversations, all right? So here's ground rule number one. The only place you're allowed to come from with it is, what can I do to get better? That's good. If all you're listening to is like, you taking notes, huh? If that's it, then you're not communicating well. Let me just help you with that, okay? You're really not. Here's another one, and this may seem simple, but I'm just gonna say it, you know. It's like, I'm a man. So, Pastor, you're kind of coming from the perspective a little bit of a guy. Well, I kind of am. One, kind of struggle with another perspective, you know. So this is it. This is what you got. And so I've done my best to balance it out, to try to help it make sense for everyone. But this is years and years and years of me communicating with a lot of people, with my wife and my kids and all that, and I want to help. Third thing is this, is communicating effectively, it never stops. And it's always shifting and changing. You want to know why? Seasons of life shift and change. Come on, is there any men in here you think you finally get it right and then the rules change and you didn't know what happened? Come on, we might know what I'm talking about. Guys, we're not much better. Okay, because seasons of life change and then the way we have to communicate often sometimes changes. So we're still working on it. We're still getting, my wife and I have been married 25 years, still working on communicating better. You know, thought I would have had it figured out by now, but I don't. All right, so we're growing together. So here we go. Four tips on communicating for a change, okay? First one is this. Listen to understand. Listen to understand. Hey, listen. Are y'all listening? Listen, James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And here is your cultural divide we have right now, right? Because everything around us, guess what it's doing? The opposite. Everyone's quick to speak, quick to get angry, and they don't listen at all. Hey, let's be honest. That's what we're dealing with right now. No one wants to listen. Everybody wants to fight, and people don't want to hear. They want to be heard. But watch this. By hearing, you earn the right to be heard.
That's good.
Now, let me step into our culture for a moment, okay? It's this. Okay, yeah, I believe in having a backbone. I believe in having convictions. I believe, let me tell you, this church, if we're going to go down, we're going to go down on the Word of God.
That's right.
What the Bible says. Well, that's not real popular. It doesn't matter. Never has been, never will be. But guess what? This is our standard. This is what we go by, right? Okay? No mistakes about any of that kind of stuff. But let me tell you what I have learned. What I've learned is as many of us just shut down listening to somebody who doesn't believe like we believe. And this is what we're doing. Now we're missing out on Matthew 28 that says go into all the world and make disciples. How can we go into the world and make disciples if we don't want to listen to what anybody in the world has to say?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what we do. We listen so we can understand where they're coming from. And once I understand where you're coming from, okay, well, now I know how to communicate with you to help get the gospel to you. No wonder why you feel that way. No wonder why you misunderstand. No wonder. Let me show you the truth of what the Word of God says. Always remember this. We love people right where they are, but we love them too much to leave them where they are.
Right.
And that's where our world says, hey, love them where they are. Love them where they are. Well, you're just going to leave them there? We got to love people into what God's called us to do. That's one of the things I enjoyed about even the cultures that I went to. I'm thinking about, in particular, in India and learning how the whole system works there and their belief in Hinduism and all that. And once I understood that, then I understood why they believed the way they believed and why they thought about Christianity the way they did. And it gave me the opportunity to navigate those waters to now bring the gospel that makes sense to them. Why? I listened. You listen. Listen. I don't listen to change my convictions of the Word of God. I listen so that I can now take the Word of God and make it make sense to them. Listen to understand. Now, here's the problem with listening. Most times, you ever talk to somebody, and as you're talking to them, you know they're not listening to you. You ever talk to somebody, and you can see they're like waiting for an opening so they can just say the next thing, that they don't want to hear what you have to say, but they want you to hear what they have to say. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, don't point. Don't point. So let me give you a little tip. Let me give you a tool that I've learned. It's helped my marriage. It's helped me as a leader. It's helped me as a friend. It helped me as a dad. It's helped me in every single area. And you may have heard of this before, but my marriage coaches really kind of brought this to my wife and I, and it's called active listening. Maybe you've heard of active listening. Let me give you what active listening is. Active listening, it's simply this. You're making sure you're hearing what they're saying and making sure you're understanding their intention. You ever tell somebody something? And then they take it and they're like, oh, so-and-so said this. And you're like, I didn't say that. Yeah. They took it a different way than you gave it. All my years of being a youth pastor, I can't tell you the times I'm preaching a message, a teenager hears it, goes home, Pastor Jay said I could do with the thing that I wanted to do. And I'm getting a phone call. And I'm like, I did not say that. That's what they wanted to hear.
Right.
So this is active listening. Okay. So let me make sure I'm clear. What I hear you saying is, go ahead and say what I hear you saying. You want to talk about save you in a lot of areas when it comes to listening. Hey, so what I hear you saying is this. I learned that first with my marriage, where I'm telling us tell Stephanie. So what I hear you saying, Stephanie, is when I do this, it makes you feel like that. And when you feel like that, it makes you want to react this way. And so you're asking me not to do that, respectfully. Okay, no, not exactly. And it gives them an opportunity to make sure that I hear what they're trying to say. It helps me, even as a boss, as a pastor, if you will, some of our team, I can look at, we can talk through something, make a decision about something. I say, hey, I'm not trying to be insult anyone's intelligence, but what did you hear me say? And then it gives me the opportunity to hear what's said so that now we're on the same page walking out of the door. I hope that helps. That's the first tool that I have for you. Hey, you may have heard somebody say this before. We all have two ears and one mouth for a reason, right? Let's listen as much as we're speaking. So first thing is listen to understand. Tip number two, speak to be understood. That's the same thing, right? No, listen first. Notice listening is first, and then speak to be understood. They don't know who said this. It was an unknown who quoted this, but I thought it was great. It said, a relationship with no communication is just two people. Mm-hmm. There's too many homes in our area that's just two people.
Yeah.
You might be in here and you're just two people. Because there's no communication that's going on. I want to help you listen to understand, but speak to be understood. James 1:19, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Let me give you a few just thoughts on this. First is, be careful with tone. By the way, I encourage and try to do my best with this, not to text or not to email emotions. Because no one really knows, they can't really interpret it. So you ask this long question that you're really bothered by, and you get a text back, okay. What you mean, okay? Okay, text me okay. Well, which okay is okay? Is it okay? Is it okay? Or is it okay? Which okay is it, right? And so we gotta watch tone. We gotta watch our tone, be careful. With our tone, it speaks to be understood. Yes, Lord, we hear you. We hear you. I'm trying to help him, Lord. All right. Second thing with our words, speak to be understood. If you got to crank me up a little bit, that's fine, guys. Watch this. No cheap shots. When you're speaking, no cheap shots. Let's be fair. We've all done it, right?
Yeah.
I've done it. No cheap shots. It when you do a cheap shot with your words, then guess what happens? It's over. You think you won, you lost. Oh, I won the battle, you lost the war. You just made it further and further apart by those little cheap shots. And by the way, I've said this, I say this over and over and over. If for some reason it's in your head, I want you to hear me, okay? Please hear me with this. If something in you, maybe you saw your mom do it, maybe you saw your dad do it, maybe you saw whoever do it. If something in you thinks, let me attack them, let me beat them down, and if I beat them down enough, they'll finally do what I've been asking them to do, guess what happens? When you beat people down, guess what happens? They stay beaten down. And now they avoid you and avoid the conversation. So it's like, and they're gonna like rise from a phoenix, from the ashes. Nope, they're gonna stay in the ashes. Is what's going to happen. You'll encourage a whole lot more people into something than you will criticize them into anything. It's just true. It's true. Watch our tone. No cheap shots. And the goal is to reconcile, not to win. Let me give you a couple things that I've learned in just speaking and trying to help you with this, okay? Be quick to listen. Slow to speak. Slow to become angry. I got just four. Be affirming. Be clear. Be honest. And be open. Be open. Let me talk about those words. First, be affirming. When someone is speaking to you and you're actively listening, okay, you're actively listening, you got to be affirming of what they feel. Now, this is hard. This has been hard for me. To be honest, I've only learned this in the last 3 to 4 years. Because, I mean, I remember a few years back, I remember something in particular, my wife saying, well, you know, it makes me feel like this. And I thought to myself, well, that's great. Because like I can solve this right now. Your feelings are completely wrong. It made sense to me. It did. It's like, great. I'm glad you brought up that your feelings feel that way. Your feelings are wrong. And this is, let me tell you what it really is. And I learned something. I learned that doesn't work. Made things worse. And so she made me feel like, okay, let me affirm her feelings. Even if her feelings or his feelings are so off, it doesn't matter. This is what I've learned to say. You know what? I didn't mean that, but it doesn't matter. You felt it. And I hated that you feel that. I don't want you to feel that. Help me so I don't make you feel that way again. You saw that?
Right.
See that? Right. I didn't mean to, but here, affirm the way someone may feel. And then next one, be clear and honest. Those two kind of go together. Be clear and honest, because this is what typically happens. Okay, we're in a moment. We're trying to communicate. It's sticky. It's stressful. Maybe I'm angry. Maybe I'm on attack mode. Maybe we're trying to figure this. You know what? I just want some peace. So what we'll often do is we'll be honest to a point and stop.
Right.
And when we're honest to a point and we stop, let me tell you what you did. All you did was keep that seed of resentment on the inside of you just for it to grow and show up again a little bit later.
That's right.
And so what we want to do is like, okay, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be as clear as I can, as honest as I can, the best way that I can, not to attack, but to try to help in this. And the final one is this, be open. Be open to feedback. Be open. Come on, anybody other than me, whenever you know you got to have a serious conversation with someone, you start playing it out in your head, yes, and you paint out a whole scenario. I'm going to show up and I'm going to talk to him, and it's going to be nice, pleasantries. I'm going to say, hey, listen. Then we're going to talk and all that, and he's going to say something. I'm going to say, your mama. And then we're going to get out and say, get away. Come on, anybody other than me, yes, have those conversations in your head? You get there, it's never like you thought it was going to be, right?
No.
But this is what I always say. I always think I'm going to get to a certain point. I'm going to make the point. We're going to understand. We're going to forgive. And I'm going to be like, I establish how this is. It's going to be fine. It's going to be over. Then I get to the moment and I establish. And they're like, well, I have a few things. I'm like, well, I didn't factor in the things that you had. I just had what I have. It's going to be open. Open. No. Because we just want to get better. Let me just help somebody. I didn't say this in the last service, but let me say this one here. If you kind of have the... Let me be your pastor, okay? If you have the attitude of this is me, this is my personality, and everybody else is just going to have to deal with it. If you have that, you can have that attitude, but every area in your life will be limited. You'll only go so far. God would have had all this for you, you'll only have this. Your marriage could have been just the intimacy and could be your best friend in the world. You won't go past here. And you won't, because your pride has not allowed you to grow. And you're stuck in one place. And so I want to just encourage you, man. Say, okay, listen, I understand this is my personality. I understand that's their personality. But we want to get better. Come on, we want to grow, right?
Yeah.
I want to be the best I could. I want to be the best version of Jason that God set out for me to be. Yeah. All right, listen to understand, number one. Number two, speak to be understood. Now three, this is a little bit more of a concept more than it is a step. Be proactive with your communication instead of just reactive with your communication. I'll explain what that means after I read the scriptures, verses 23 through 25. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in all that they do. Being proactive instead of just reactive. In other words, if you're waiting to the heat of the battle to set up guidelines and ways to communicate better, you're in trouble. So we have learned over the years when emotions aren't heightened, when everything's fine and everything's good, this is the time that we actually get proactive and talk about the way certain things are and the way we receive certain things so that we can put some parameters in place so that we can communicate effectively. Let me give you a real example, okay? So my wife and I, honestly, truthfully, over all the years, we don't really fight much anymore. We just tired. Four kids, we tired, y'all. It's like, I don't have the energy. You just do whatever you want. You know what I mean? Come on, you just kind of, you get there at some point. So, but no, over the times, but we both, you know, would have a little spice to us at times and getting a little tiff. And it would get to a certain point that as it escalated, it got to a point where it's not only is it not productive anymore, it will only produce like bad things, words that we wish we wouldn't have said. And so once we got elevated enough, it became about winning more than it came about reconciliation and getting this thing right. And it became about who's right and not what's right. Did you catch that? It's not about who's right, it's about what's right. And so we, one time after one of those things happened, and we decided to put some ground rules in place. And we put some ground rules in place that if we were getting elevated to that point, that one of us would say, hey, I'm getting too hyped up, I need some time. And that was the code word. That was the code sentence that says, hey, we've moved into a realm, it's not gonna be productive, it's only gonna be destructive. Now it meant, okay, we're gonna back up, give some space, but the one who says that is responsible to come back once things go down and say, okay, now let's talk through this and make sure we're doing what's right, not who's right. Now, I'd love to tell y'all that was just perfect. Oh, just perfect little family, huh, Pastor Trey? No, there's been times where she's like, hey, I need a little time. Like, it's been 2 seconds. That's all the time you get. You know, we're going to deal with this right now. And we've had those moments. Then we had to repent again and move forward again and all those kind of things. But put into place these moments. It's critical, 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 critical during those times. So everybody say, listen. Listen. Then speak to be understood. Be proactive. Be proactive. And now the final one, as our worship team starts to come up here. Man, we're done service already almost. I mean, wasn't worship awesome today, y'all? Wasn't it just phenomenal? It's good, man. We just kept going with that. All right. Final one. Fourth one. Number four. Here. I'm trying to load you up. Trying to help you. Okay. Let me just say this. I'm going to ask all of you, whatever friendships relate you in, especially if you're married in here, I want to ask you to leave here, and now here's a dangerous question. How do you think we're doing communicating? Oh, Pastor, it's Super Bowl weekend, man. Why are you trying to mess it up? I want some pizza rolls. Can we talk about this Monday? Sure, talk about it on Monday, all right? That's fine, all right? Because this is typically what will happen. One will be like, man, it's fine, I say whatever I want. And the other person's like, there's a lot of things I don't say because you say whatever you want. And what am I trying to do? The goal is not to win. The goal is to reconcile. The goal is to have harmony. You know what the goal is? Unity. You know what Scripture says? That where there's unity, God commands a blessing. Don't you want a blessing on your relationships? I want a blessing on my relationships. I do. Listen, I got a long ways to go. I got a lot to learn and a lot I'm learning still to this day. But I want a blessing in this church. This church has been blessed. You know why? Because we fight for unity. Fight for unity. By the way, not uniformity. It doesn't mean everybody's the exact same, but unity. We want to do what's right, not who's right. The final one, build up, don't tear down. Build up, don't just tear down. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits. I talk a lot about that. If you hang around long enough, you'll hear me talk a lot about this. Now, there's an interesting thing. I want to make sure I make this very clear. Don't tear down, build up. There are times. It's not all just about building up. There are times that we need to tear down. Ecclesiastes actually says there's a time to tear down and there's a time to build up. But here's the thing. Many of us, we're tearing down the wrong things. We're tearing down character. We're tearing down ambition. We're tearing down vision. Someone goes to take a step into doing something right, and then we actually get on to them for trying to take a step to do something right. What are you trying to do? Pastor said so-and-so, now you're just trying to do it. Yes, because I'm trying to move better, forward, or whoever it may be. Hey. So this is, what do you tear down? Tear down lies. That's good. That's a lie from the devil. We tear that down. Yeah. We tear that down. Tear down miscommunication, tear down resentment. Oh no, we're tearing down that resentment because this is not what God has for me, my marriage, my family. He doesn't have these things. Tear down anything that doesn't reflect the honesty in your heart before God. Our marriage coaches, who actually came last year during Family University after Easter, Dr. Gary and Barb, They did this exercise with us years ago, and they actually had this ceramic like heart. And they told us, wherever you sit down to talk, put that ceramic heart right there. And whenever you're talking, like, if it gets to a moment where it's like, okay, you're wanting to have a vulnerable conversation. You're like, I'm really worried about something, or I'm trying to figure something out. I really need your help, babe. Take the heart and give it to her. And when you give her that heart, what you're saying is, this is fragile. I could drop this and break it. But I'm giving you my heart right now. So all the things I'm about to share with you, be careful with it. Because here's the deal. If you mishandle my heart in this moment, I don't know when you'll get it again.
That's right.
And many of us in here, one of the challenges, we don't have each other's heart. Because we're not communicating. We're not talking such a way to get each other's heart. And I think it's important. Maybe you've even lost it a little bit over time. When I think about losing things, I'm usually pretty good at, when I use something, I put it back where it's supposed to be. But I have this thing called children. And they come borrow my stuff. Anybody have kids that borrow your stuff? Wait till they get a little older and they wear the same size clothes as you have. Where's my shoes? Where's my pants? Where's that shirt that I want? Where's all these things? It all comes. And I don't like losing. I don't really lose things very much. And like, you know, lose a water bottle, who cares? You know, you lose something. But you start losing some serious things like the remote control. Come on, man, you lose the remote control. This ain't 85 where you get up and press the TV. Where's the remote? You know, you lose a phone. Anybody, you ever lose your phone? Life ceased to exist till you find the phone, right? Your keys, you can't go anywhere until you have your keys. And the level in which we search for the thing we lost is the level of how important it is to us and how much we need it. I ain't worried about the water bottle, whatever. Where's my keys? I can't go. Where's my phone? What are we going to do? We're doing nothing till we find my phone. That's what we're going to do. I wonder how many of us lost the person we love's heart. Are you even looking for it? I'll do whatever it takes. Counseling, whatever. Whatever we got to do. If I have to fly to Mount Everest and go get a leaf off a tree and bring it back and burn it and that thing turns into everything's great. Now I will go, I'm on my way to Mount Everest right now. I'll do whatever it takes. Why? We're not moving from here till we get this right. And some of you are here and the truth is you've lost, you might even be the person you're sitting next to, you lost each other's heart. I'm gonna ask God to heal it. Bring it back together. And now hear me, when that person says, I'm giving you my heart. Can we talk about this? Boy, you better handle that thing with the most care you've ever handled anything in your life. And you may not even understand it, but that's, guess what? Just say it. I don't understand everything you're saying, but I'm committed to understanding everything you're saying. Y'all get what I'm saying?